Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Hall, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. Pick Six with Mullion Hall starts now.
Do you have any idea what Theo Epstein meant when he lauded David Ross for his treatment of Craig Kimbrell and said, Rossi has his back, he's not going to turn his back on him while he goes through this?
Yeah, I think what he means is that that David Ross understands that there's still a lot of money left on that contract, and you don't throw out a guy who's had the success that Craig Kimbrell has had in his career, and they feel that there is some kind of mechanical issue and there's just some things he's working through, and he's breaking down the video according to Theo. But I would say that he understands the value of the player, be it the importance of the position and his previous success, or the commitment financially that the team has in him. So I think he's doing exactly what Theo wants him to do, and that's why you say he gets it and he's not going to turn his back on him.
It's a tough balance to strike, though, Mully. I think that that's what he was also referring to. You know, when Craig Kimbrell made his major league debut in 2010, David Ross was the catcher behind the plate with the Atlanta Braves. When Craig Kimbrell was trying to get back in baseball and picking a free agent team and trying out for teams, David Ross was the guy scouting him for the Cubs. There's a relationship there that maybe complicates things or adds another layer to it, which I think maybe also you have to always remember when how to deal with Rossi and Kimbrell and talking about it, because there's a sensitivity that may not necessarily always factor in. And I think that David Ross has balanced that pretty well. He went to the mound last night when he needed to go to the mound, and he took him out because he wasn't getting the job done. Not a lot of discussion, but this was the right thing for the rest of the team. But what Theo was referring to was he will have his back. He's not going to embarrass this guy. He's a proud veteran, and I think that he also, though, with that in mind, is going to make the right decision for the Cubs overall.
During a 37-minute Zoom call, Theo Epstein spent much of the time praising manager David Ross and specifically lauded Ross for addressing some things that have lingered for years. What do you think he was referencing? And was that a veiled swipe at Joe Maddon?
I don't think you could look at it any other way if you're a Joe Maddon guy. I mean, if you look at everything that is said about David Ross, you could interpret it as a veiled swipe at Joe Maddon. I don't think it was intended that way. I don't think Theo Epstein operates that way. That seems very petty to me. Although it's impossible not to compare and contrast because of the way that the Cubs have responded, and they're 9-2. And why did David Ross replace Joe Maddon? Because it was about increasing the urgency, the intensity, getting rid of the complacency, and increasing the accountability. There's a lot there, but I think that's exactly what you're talking about and what he was referencing. And that's why he went out of his way as much as he did to praise a guy who has taken a football mentality to a baseball team, and you're seeing the results in a 9-2 start.
It's really a really non-sophisticated way to look at this whole thing.
Look, I think that when you break it down, Ross in this idea of the urgency of bringing this sort of football mentality to baseball, this idea of every practice counting and every game counting and all that stuff, it's the perfect situation because of the season as well. So the Cubs, like everyone else, have to get off to a fast start. And you got a manager who you brought in because he's going to bring a little discipline, because he's going to give you that sense of urgency. So these two things meet, and the Cubs are running away with their division. And there's all sorts of problems for all these other teams. And the Cubs are the only team without so much as a positive test before it starts here, right? They are the only team that has been absolutely clear on this stuff, and it is laudable. And I think that the fact that they're winning and Ross is doing things differently and showing that mentality is exactly what he's talking about here. I don't know how you stay away from the comparison to Joe Maddon, because he's the guy that had the job that you took over, and it was always going to be there, and he's coming out favorably in that comparison to open the season. As simple as that.
Are there positive tests, or the lack of positive tests because of Rossi? You think?
No, I think it's I think in part it's the seriousness the Cubs are taking this.
Dr. Rossi
yesterday. I think it has to do with what the pitching staff witnessed with Tommy Haddavy, and understanding kind of the seriousness of the issue. And I think it's also, you know, Ross talking to guys that he was teammates with and friends with and explaining that yet again. And it's the age of the players and the seriousness and the understanding that they have to get off to a good start. But I think all those things together, the maturity of the team, is an important factor there. And they've avoided any of these things that we've seen with some other teams.
It's picked off. They're going to come the other way. And this is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
With Carlos Rodon joining Reynaldo Lopez and Jimmy Lambert on the injured list and Michael Kopech having opted out, who should be their fifth starter? Do you worry more about overtaxing Ross Detweiler coming off hip surgery or Dane Dunning coming off Tommy John? And would you advocate making a deal?
I do not advocate making a deal. I want to get that out first. Do not make a deal. There is no need to make a deal. It is a next man up mentality, and you go through the guys that are there. If you have to use an opener, if you have to figure out use a young guy coming out of Schaumburg, whatever it is you have to do, I do not want them to make a deal. I want them to understand that, hey, if it's not our year, it's not our year. If we come up short here, that's just unfortunate, because we got a lot of really good things on the horizon. If they're going to make a deal, then package Ryan Goings and Louis Bissap. Oh, never mind.
Oh, never mind.
Don't make a deal.
No.
Okay? Don't make a deal. I don't want that to happen. And I would say, if I'm choosing between Ross Detweiler and Dane Dunning, I'm worried about Dane Dunning coming off the Tommy John, because we know Michael Kopech opted out in part, and not the primary reason, but in part because of the quick ramp up and coming off a shoulder injury, a Tommy John surgery. And we know the two guys that had Tommy John surgery, like one Dane Dunning, those guys are already on the shelf. We'll see how long for. So I worry about that. Ross Detweiler, how old is Ross Detweiler? He's been around a long time. He's got to be in his early 30s.
34.
34. Okay. So is he a part of the long-term future? I think you'd be more likely to see what you have with Ross Detweiler here than try to Jimmy Lambert, Dane Dunning.
Yeah, I'm not worried about overtaxing Ross Detweiler. I'm worried about Ross Detweiler staying consistent as you overtax him. He's there to be overtaxed. I want to take a deeper look at Dane Dunning. How healthy is he? How available is he? How effective would he be? I don't look at the White Sox injured pitchers and see one guy. I see them each as individuals, Molly. I do not follow necessarily the logic of I understand caution, but I don't worry so much that if you bring in Dane Dunning that he's going to suffer the same injury fate as Jimmy Lambert or Reynaldo Lopez or Carlos Rodon. If he's healthy and he's good, put him on the mound. I don't think that it would hurt you to take a look if he is ready to go. Because at this point in time, you know, you just take a – you want to see what you have. Detweiler gives you some options. Gio Gonzalez is a guy whose flexibility will come in handy. But I am with you 100%. Do not make a deal. Do not give up a prospect. You are in a 60-game season, and you are ahead of schedule this year. If you believe that, then you preserve that, and you look ahead at this bright future and keep it bright by protecting the players who will be part of it down the road – Think big. Think in the future. Don't worry about the present needs dictating your future path, and protect your prospects.
Intercepted. There goes Eddie Jackson to the 10. 5. End zone. Touchdown. Pick 6. Wow.
After Blackhawks interim president Danny Wirtz told NBC Sports Chicago he was committed to GM Stan Bowman and his multi-year contract, who is the Chicago sports executive whose seat is the hottest now? Who is most likely to leave, and are they the same guy?
Well, I think that Ryan Pace is the guy with the hottest seat now. I would have said Stan Bowman before Danny Wirtz removed any ambiguity. That was a vote of confidence, and that was a guy basically saying, I'm in charge now of the business operations. I have my hockey guy. And the speculation. And Stan Bowman, I don't know that he deserved that, but he has definitely been a guy that they rely upon. And moving forward, he's kind of removed from the hot seat. So I think Ryan Pace is on the clock now. I think it's a playoff or bust mentality, depending on how you want to look at it. But I don't think that the McCaskies look at it that way necessarily. I don't think Georgia McCaskey thinks that Ryan Pace is on the hot seat. But let's talk again as this moves forward and revisit this in January, certainly. Who's the first guy, the next guy most likely to leave among Chicago sports executives? Theo Epstein's out of contract in 2021, and I fear the day, and I dread that day. But I think that he may have bigger and better things ahead of his future. So he might actually be the answer to the latter part of that question.
Yeah, I really like the question, first of all, because I think it makes you sort of just do a little kind of mental trip through all our teams and try to figure out who's going where. Look, I mean, I don't know that anybody felt the Bulls were going to make a move, even though the Bulls probably really needed to make a move, but they did make a move. And so that gave you the feeling, as you often get in the NBA, that anything is possible. And you look at the Bears and you say, wow, you know, let's see what happens this year. You are in the midst of this pandemic. Are they going to play? Is it better to keep continuity? How are you going to work through some of the issues? But I would have to think that Ryan Pace, as much as I don't believe he's under a ton of pressure right now, I would have to think at some point you got to look at that if they don't win this year and say, okay, this was a bad idea. This is not going well. And he could be that guy. But I'm with you, David. I think that Theo Epstein, every time you hear him talk, every time you kind of watch him, Theo can do anything. How is the challenge going for Theo? Does he feel, you know, I'm sure there was some unfinished business, but you got to wonder what he wants, not just with his baseball team or in baseball, but in life. Seems like there's a guy that can do a lot of different things, and maybe he wants to get on with it, or maybe he's comfortable, but I think that's the great uncertainty.
Batted at the line of scrimmage, batted back and picked off. Can you believe this? Pick 6, Anthony Harris.
What do you make of the Athletic report that there is a growing belief there will not be a second bubble for the 8 NBA teams, including the Bulls, that are not in the Orlando bubble? Does that put those teams at a competitive disadvantage, and is it the right move?
Unequivocally, it's the right move. Unequivocally. I don't want to see the Bulls. I don't want to watch the worst teams. Does it put them at a competitive disadvantage? Unequivocally, yes. It puts them at a terrible competitive disadvantage.
I think that you're right. It does. They're behind the eight ball, but and you look at the teams like the Suns having off to a good start in the bubble, and young teams benefiting from this experience that could have been the Bulls. It wasn't. They're at a disadvantage, but there's nothing that you could tell me that would make me believe that getting 8 NBA teams into another bubble is a good idea in the midst of this pandemic and then looking at the numbers. So I think they're doing the right thing. The bubble seems to be working down there in Orlando. I don't think the NBA should mess with a successful format right now. No, don't do it.
And it's intercepted. Poorly thrown ball. Marcus Williams to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, and a touchdown. A pick 6 for Marcus Williams.
Reports say the Big Ten will release its schedule today, along with medical protocols. Commissioner Kevin Warren has been speaking with athletes via Zoom. With so many football programs affected by positive tests, shutting down workouts, what is the right move for the league?
I think a lot of leagues around the country are waiting to see what the Big Ten does. I give Kevin Warren credit for reaching out and trying to let these athletes be heard. You're looking around the country. There's some real problems at programs, college football workouts, and coaches being accused of things that would be really just above and beyond. And it's just really upsetting when you see what's going on nationwide with college football athletes and workouts. So I think the Big Ten releasing its schedule today might be a little optimistic. It might be a little tone deaf. I don't know that you can do this in the midst of all these positive tests and all these programs shutting down. Rutgers and Michigan State, it's been the most serious, but you look around, you don't have to see very far. You know, Evanston for finding positive tests and adjustments to this. So I would think that this is all headed toward whatever happens with the schedule release. You got to really consider moving college football back, either a delayed start or even looking to the spring, because that to me would be the smartest, safest way to approach this.
Look, I've never felt that they were going to get the college season going. I think it's a real difficult thing to do. I think it's a really difficult, you know, I don't want to be negative about it. I just think it's, you know, a very hard thing to control. Given all the circumstances, I think it's going to be really difficult to get college going. And I wonder about the game itself. I wonder how many players who would be drafted into the league are going to be willing to actually play. So I think the opt-out could be a much higher number, and probably should be a much higher number. In the NFL, I think they'll get going. I don't know that they can get the season in, but I think that they are hell-bent on trying. So I think it's two different games, two different sports. I worry about college football, and I don't know that they're going to make the correct decision on it, but I don't know that they're going to be able to avoid the correct decision eventually, and I worry for their college season. I don't think so. All righty, that is our pick six. We've got a lot of fun left for you today. We're going to get to it next. Mullion on the Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.